Thank you, Mogens. I don't know if I gave you the wrong scripture or what happened, but it's always great to hear the word anyways, right? I was blessed to get a phone call from Robert last night. Of course, he is a proud new grandfather as of this morning, so that's definitely a blessing for him and his family. I know Scott, I believe I already told you all that Andrea Smith did have her baby. It's a little girl, and I believe 8 pounds and 10 ounces. So that's a blessing. That's why I'm up here this morning. Robert gave me a phone call. Lots of blessings coming upon us lately. There was a wedding here yesterday. That was great to see a lot of people come out for. I was surprised at how many people were here. It was kind of a packed house. It was great. Why don't we give thanks to the Lord for all these blessings before we get into the scripture? Dear Father, we thank you so much just for the blessings that you've shown us, for these things that you've given us to draw us closer to you and have a better relationship with you, Father. And we ask right now that you would just take care of us, that you would open our hearts and minds to read your word and to understand it and to apply it to our lives, Father. We just want to follow you and serve you in every way that we can. And we thank you so much for our brothers and sisters that are here today and also all the visitors that are here today, that we can just encourage each other and bring each other closer to you. We thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice that he made. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Jim Wise handed me a card that he wanted me to read to all of you, and I proofread it. I read it once before, and it's really encouraging, and I want us to listen to what they wrote. It says, "Dear family, we cannot thank you enough for all the love and care put into our daughter's wedding. With very little time and notice, we found our brothers and sisters gathering around us to hold us up. Without you, we would not have been able to give Jack and Renee the wedding that they will never forget. In Christian love, the Wise Guys." So that's really encouraging, and that's really what this is all about. That's really what church is all about, is encouraging each other in Christ's love. And it's about making connections and about being a part of someone else's life and someone else being a part of your life, and being able to go through all of this journey that is Christianity together. And so thank you to the Wise Guys for sharing that with us. And it ties in well with what I wanted to speak about today. This was on really short notice. I got the call at about 9 o'clock last night, and that was just a maybe that I might be speaking. And then I have a paper delivery route, so I went on that, so I was basically up all night. And then I went to sleep for a couple hours, and then at 7, it was a definite, you're speaking. So I put the coffee pot on, and I cranked it out. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And he's going to reveal some things to us which are going to help us build up the brethren and edify the brethren. Now, we as Americans, we love our freedom, right? We celebrate our freedom. It's an honor to be so free that we can meet here without persecution. I mean, we have a lot of things that a lot of other people don't have. So far, we're free to own as many guns as we want. We can drive cars wherever we want to. We have freedom of speech. There's a lot of freedoms that we have. But freedom without responsibility, what is that? Freedom without responsibility would be anarchy, basically. There always has to be a balance of freedom and responsibility. And it's the same as as us being free in Christ. We were made free from the law of Moses, made free from our sins by Jesus and the sacrifice that he made on the cross. And so we have that freedom in Christ, but just as we're citizens of America and we have that freedom and we have to take responsibility, as Christians, we also have to take responsibility in the freedoms that Christ has given us. As Christians, we're free to eat anything we want. We're free to drink anything we want. We can clothe ourselves according to how we want. We can watch TV. We can watch movies. We can listen to music. And we can do all of these things freely. There's no rules that specifically say that we cannot do these things. We've been made free to do these things. But even in these freedoms, there has to be some responsibility. We have to balance this out. Now, in 1 Corinthians, what we're going to look at, there had been a problem. And their problem was they were having a hard time balancing out the responsibility and the freedoms. And so they asked Paul, they brought it to Paul, said, "What can we do?" And they did this because there was a potential division in the congregation, in the church in Corinth. And they wanted to make sure that got taken care of. Now, the example is used often about meat that was sacrificed to idols and whether or not that was okay to eat. That was a big deal to them in that day. Of course, it's not to us now. But to them, that was a controversial topic. That was one of those topics that can just divide a church like that. So it was very serious when the Corinthians brought this up to Paul. And we read when Paul writes a lot, and he talks about two types of brothers. He talks about the stronger brother and the weaker brother. And so there's two types of Christians, two types of brothers in the church in Corinth. And there was the stronger brothers and the weaker brothers. When Paul writes his letters, he writes them, he addresses the stronger brothers so that they can build up the weaker ones. So Paul primarily addresses them in his letters. These stronger brothers were the people that knew their freedoms. They knew that they were free to eat any kind of meat that they wanted to. They realized that idols couldn't contaminate the foods that they were eating. But being the stronger brothers, they had the responsibility of building up the weaker brothers. Now, the weaker brothers, they were offended that there were other Christians eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And these Christians were probably newer in their faith. A lot of them probably had been brought out of a pagan background. And so they didn't understand and they were offended as to why other Christians were doing this, were eating this meat. And they were more prone to live by these rules instead of the freedoms that they had in Christ. And so we see these two types of brothers. And Paul's writing to the stronger ones so that they can edify and build up the weaker ones. Now, in order for them to bypass the division, the stronger ones needed to take responsibility for the freedoms that they had in Christ. And there's three responsibilities that Paul reveals to us, that he revealed to the stronger brothers in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to go ahead and read that, starting in verse 23 through 33. 23 and 24 was the scripture reading, and it's... I still thank you, Mogens. I love to hear anything that the Bible has to say. So we'll start in verse 23. It says, "All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify." We're free to do a lot of things, but just because we're free to do them doesn't mean that it's a good thing to do or that it profits other people in any way. And so he keeps going in verse 20, 24, it says, "Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience sake. But if anyone says to you, 'This is meat sacrificed to idols,' do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake." So the first responsibility that we have is to our brothers and sisters in Christ. It says to seek the good of others. Put others before you, is what Paul's telling them. And even though these stronger brothers had the freedom to eat any meat that they wanted to, he was saying that it's better for you to seek the good of the other brothers. It's better for you not to do this so that they won't be sinning. And so we have this responsibility and the freedoms that we have to make sure that what we're doing, even if it is allowed in Christ, is not harming another brother. So one of our responsibilities is to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the second responsibility is to glorify God in all things. And we see this in verse 29. "I mean not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks?" If you're doing something that you know that the Bible says you're free to do, and another brother comes up to you and asks you why you're doing that, a lot of times our first reaction is, "Well, I'm allowed to do that. Why am I the one being asked about this?" But it says here, it's not for your own conscience. I mean not your own conscience, but the other man's. And these are the objections that we would have. Why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? So, we have to glorify God in everything. Verse 31, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." It doesn't matter if it violates our conscience. If it violates someone else's conscience and we do it anyways, that's not glorifying God. That's harming one of our brothers, right? So everything that we have to do has to glorify God. And we have to take our brothers' consciences, I think is the plural on that one. We have to be aware of those. And our last responsibility that Paul reveals to us and revealed to them is that we have the responsibility to seek to win the lost for Christ. And finishing out this passage, in verse 32, "Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved." That's our ultimate goal as Christians, is to bring other people to Christ. Paul was all about winning other people for Christ, regardless of the freedoms that he had as an apostle, as a Christian. He always put those responsibilities, he always put those other people before him. So fully knowing the rights that he has, he was willing to do anything for the sake of his brothers and sisters in Christ. He's willing to do anything for the sake of someone who wasn't a Christian. And if we turn back just a couple of chapters to chapter 8, verses 12 through 13, it goes back and they're still talking about this freedoms thing. They're still talking about this liberties that we have in Christ. And he says in chapter 8, verse 12 and 13, "And so, by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble." Man, it's a good thing that that's not something we struggle with now, right? Because I love to eat meat. I love steaks. I love pork chops. But Paul says that he'd stop eating all these things if he knew that it was going to hurt another brother. That's how far that he was willing to go. And in this case, I think that we have to take him literally and seriously, that he would really stop eating meat if it was going to harm another brother or sister. And I wonder, could I do that? Could I never eat another steak? I don't know. But Paul said he was that willing to build up somebody else. And then in the next chapter, in chapter 9, verses 19 through 22, I think Robert read this not too long ago. Chapter 9, verses 19 through 22 says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who were under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who were under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some." Someone might look at that and say, "Wow, Paul, that's really inconsistent. You go and you eat with these people, and then you go and hang out with these other people that won't eat this meat, and you don't eat the meat with them. That's like doing two different things." But Paul is consistent in these responsibilities that he has. It looks inconsistent, but it's not. He's living consistently with the things that he's told the Corinthians to do. Balancing our freedoms with our responsibilities is consistent living. And Paul was a very consistent man. So what Paul did is he always put other people in front of him. He always put their faith before his so that he could build them up. He could edify them, that they would benefit. Now, we have a lot of freedoms, even in this day and age, as Christians. And we have to make sure that we don't turn certain things into rules. We have the freedom to worship with instruments if we want to. We have the freedom. I'm wearing a Johnny Cash shirt underneath this shirt. I had the freedom to wear just a Johnny Cash shirt up here and preach to you, but I didn't do that because I don't know who in here doesn't like Johnny Cash. You know, somebody might have been offended by that, and so I didn't wear that shirt in front. We have these freedoms, but if we don't take responsibility and put others before us, then we're not going to win others to Christ. And that is what we're supposed to be doing. That's what Paul was doing. And if we put other people before us, this is going to keep us in check. This is going to keep our responsibilities and our freedoms in check. Paul became all things to all men to win more people to Christ. And I know that each and every one of you out here want to do the same. We want to be able to see all of our community, all of our brothers and sisters and friends and parents in heaven with us. We've had a lot of blessings lately. Babies and weddings. And the blessing of the gospel is the greatest one of all, because that means we get to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. And so in order to be able to win others for Christ, we must take responsibility for the freedoms that we have in Christ. If there's anyone here today who wants to be a part of that family that we are, that wants to bless others by sharing the gospel with them, who wants to take part in the body of Christ, please come forward now as we stand and sing.